Law's Cool, episode number 7.
Hi, my name is Thomas Wisdom, and I am a first-year student at Osgoode Hall Law School at York University.
My name is Omar Hareda. I am a first-year law student at the University of Western Ontario in London. For this episode of Law is Cool, touching base with Thomas Wisdom here again after, what has it been, 3 months, 3.5 months?
A couple years, hard to tell. Difference, don't know for sure.
Last time we spoke was right before law school, so I guess let's hear how the first semester of law went for you.
Yeah, I figured we'd get one more in before the grades came out, you know, and I could just... drop out, right? No, just kidding. It was a rough semester, man. It was a really rough semester. It was good. It was a lot of fun. It was great, but a bit of a difference between this and undergrad.
Definitely, that's
just
for sure.
A slight difference, and I definitely had some problems adjusting.
Now, why don't you tell us a little bit about those problems?
Well, for one, the workload is all the stuff that they tell you, you know, when you're doing the LSAT nonsense and all the other jazz, you hear nothing but horror stories, and...
They're all true.
Exactly. They're all absolutely true. Normally you blow them off and it's like, oh, come on, it can't be that bad. Like, yeah. My favorite one is you have to kiss your social life goodbye. That's the one that I like. I said, come on, everybody has time to call their friends, whatever.
Yeah.
Literally, after September 15th, didn't see a single one of my friends until the end of the exams. And still, hardly any benefit came of that. So, I don't know, man. It was really rough. The workload was crazy. The material was an entirely different thing from what I'm used to. I mean, poli-sci undergrad, it's challenging stuff, and there's a lot of similarities between law and poli-sci, but at an undergrad level of analysis compared to law school, I guess law school is undergrad, but you know what I mean. It's just, it's an entirely different ballgame. Other than the stress, it was a lot of fun, and I really do hope I don't have to drop out, because I'm having the time of my life.
I'm definitely having fun. I would agree that it is a lot of work, but it's definitely stimulating intellectually and academically, so I am enjoying it in that respect.
Yeah, so about exams. You don't have 100% finals, right, at Western?
No, we did midterms, and then we have finals at the end of the year.
But yeah, our finals are 100% finals, like you do Criminal Law 1 first semester, and that's the entire crim course. And then you do 100% final, and it's just the most sadistic process imaginable. Like, I mean, they're cool in that they give us mock midterms, and they grade them, and they give feedback and stuff like that. But it's not the same as an actual midterm, because you don't have the same pressure to perform, so you're not actually sticking up with the work. You feel like procrastinator like me. So then you get to the end, and you're like, oh my god, my entire semester hinges on this 1 3-hour exam. Like, that's a little bit much. This is LSAT pressure all over again, you know what I mean? So, yeah, bit of a problem with that, you know, method of evaluation. I'm looking forward to essays. I cannot wait for essays.
Yeah, and after years you have that option, right?
Yeah, I think, starting next semester even.
Oh, okay.
We have a prospective option class in our first year, and we take it the second semester. And for mine, it's law, gender, and equality.
Okay.
And 85% of the class is an essay. And then 15% is participation. See, that's my thing. I love essays. Essays are fantastic. But exams, never good at exams. That's where I had to take the bloody LSAT more than once. Don't like exams. Don't have very good nerves when it comes to exams. But with essays, I love them. So I'm looking forward to that. That entire class, actually, is going to be awesome. It's going to be a great class. Do you ever get this thing where there's so much, like, the feeling there's just so much to do that you just don't do anything? That's where I start, like, every day. Like, there's 200 pages to read by tomorrow. There's no way you're going to read it. So I don't. That's where I am. That's my study habits. I stare, as we've discussed.
I don't think I go that far. If I see 200 pages, I'll probably skim and get through maybe 50. And read the 50 most important pages. I won't read all 200. So I don't think I just the paralysis factor hasn't kicked in yet for me.
Mental paralysis.
Mental paralysis.
That's a good name. Involuntary mental paralysis. I wish I could study as an automaton.
Okay, so since our last podcast, we've had a lot of activity on the blog since. One of the recent occurrences has been we received the Clobby Award, the Canadian Law Blog Award. So that was exciting, and congratulations to our entire team for all the work they put in for that. We also had a Marie Winfield actually attended the Genocide Conference at McGill University back in, I believe it was October, and so she did a number of articles related to that, And we have some interviews with some students who have actually gone on international law exchanges on a slightly related subject. We'll talk a little bit about that, those listeners of ours that are interested in international law.
Hi, my name is Stanley Kang. I'm with the University of Western Ontario Law School. For the summer, I interned for an NGO called Bridges Across Borders in Cambodia, in the capital city of Phnom Penh. Part of my work is to work on the national reconciliation process with regards to the Khmer Rouge regime. As you might know, the Khmer Rouge Tribunal is going to be in progress soon, and the problem with that is that they will be prosecuting their own countrymen, and they are members of the tribunal or members of the regime who are still at large in the community, which is outside the community. But with my project, what we are hoping to achieve is to achieve a peaceful reconciliation, in the sense that the community will be able to come together as a whole and live, hope for, look for a better future. And my work for Bridges Across Borders involves developing curriculum to explain the process of the tribunal and the national reconciliation process to the grassroots populations in the most basic of terms.
Did you enjoy the experience?
Yes, I enjoyed it tremendously, and I would recommend it to anyone who is interested in international law work or who are just interested in how international law would affect a grassroots population around the world in general.
I'm Lindsay Offrich. I'm the president of the International Law Association at Western Law. I participated in the Montreal conference, which was the Global Conference on the Prevention of Genocide. What I appreciated about it, I studied international relations in my undergrad before coming to law school, and what was nice was, after having studied it from a very legal perspective, it was nice to come to a conference which was very multidisciplinary. So to see representatives of the media, of academia, of NGOs, of government officials from outside and within the United Nations, it was nice to see that interaction, especially since in a crisis situation, each organization tends to become very insular and work kind of only within its own staff and its own kind of organization, whereas I think the common theme across the conference was that if they were to turn outwards a little bit and to latch onto the expertise that different groups have, that the response could be much, much better.
And you did yourself some interesting work overseas related to genocide, did you not?
I did. I spent the summer working at the International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia. I worked in chambers, which means I worked for a French-speaking judge on a case called the Shechel case, which was a very interesting case. It's going to trial this November, but has had quite a long road getting to trial. He's actually been in detention himself for 5 years. There's been issues with him wanting to represent himself, with him refusing documents that haven't been translated into his own language, with him having counsel imposed on him and then going on hunger strike against that decision. Last year, the appeals chamber of the tribunal awarded him the right to represent himself, so the trial had to restart. And so my job over the summer was to work with the judges and the lawyers who work on his team to prepare the case for trial. So that involves doing research and drafting motions, and also preparing the information, which is quite vast. You can imagine there are thousands of exhibits and hundreds of witnesses that are scheduled to testify. So you're trying to organize that information and try to foresee the problems that will come up at trial.
Okay, and did you enjoy the experience, and did you find it useful?
Unbelievable experience, obviously. As an intern at the UN, you get access to incredible work because they are so overstaffed. You do get to work on very, very interesting projects, understaffed, I should say. You get to work on very interesting projects. You also land in this really amazing community of interns from all over the world who have totally various backgrounds, speak different languages, and so it's just a fantastic environment. You work very, very hard, but so does everyone else at the tribunal, and it's great to be in that kind of environment where everyone feels really passionate about what they're doing.
And we also have some material with Ralph Nader, who is a former presidential hopeful in the United States, I hope.
Yes, that's correct.
Because, you know, we don't have one of those in Canada. And consumer advocate, very staunch consumer advocate, who's very, very well known for his public interest work.
Mr. Nader actually was a graduate of Harvard Law School back in 1958. So we asked him a little bit about the role of law in terms of advocacy work, and he's going to speak on that just now.
Well, lawyers represent the catalytic profession. They're the ones who can give truth to power. They're not as intimidatable, and they can bring the evidence from medicine, architecture, engineering, science to policy, whether before ministries or courts of law, to advance justice in a society. So there aren't many professions that can do that. Go for it.
Mr. Nader also spoke a little bit about a philosophy of life and living. And you know what? I found it somewhat inspirational. So let's listen into that as well.
Are you sure you don't want my personal philosophy of life and living? It's a lot shorter.
But probably not as inspirational. So I think I can go with Mr. Nader's at this point.
No, not at this point, yeah.
Too many of the hours spent at college are really vocational. They're just learning a skill to get a job, or just floating around reading some awfully good books, but not developing a public philosophy, which is essential. And if you develop a public philosophy, you're likely to have a higher estimate of your own significance in helping change this world of ours. And if you have a higher estimate of your own significance, then your expectation levels and your self-respect start moving upward. Your civic self-respect start moving upward. Now, I know Canadians always are accused of having a modest inferiority complex when it comes to the United States, which is why Duff Conacher and I and my niece wrote a book called Canada First in 1993. All the areas, science, education, government, healthcare, so on, Canada was first in the world or in North America, and we couldn't find a publisher. So we went to one publisher after another. They said, why don't you want a book on Canada First? This is because Canadians aren't interested. They're too modest. They're not interested where they're first. Clearly, this was not Texas. And I said to them, well, that's why we did this book. It's because Canadians are very modest. You ask them, list all the areas that you think Canada was first in, and you often won't break 20. They'll just exhaust themselves before they hit 20. Well, they're dozens and dozens in this book, and they're often an eye-opener to Canadians who thought they knew a lot about their own history. But then you've always been in the shadow of the States. But to give you an illustration of the principal concerns of college, university students once they get out in the States, ask yourself if those are going to be your principal concerns.
Our last interview is with Melissa Kluger, who was the founder of Precedent Blog.
Yeah, it's actually quite inspirational for us, as a matter of fact, being that she made a career out of, you know, what we've taken on as, at this point, just a hobby. So it's pretty fitting, I suppose.
It is interesting. And we mentioned earlier in the episode the Qualby Award, and Melissa's site actually was the runner-up for the award that we received. So we really were honored because we used her site in many ways as a template and inspiration for what we were doing here at law school.
Yes, so thank you very much for that.
Okay, so let's listen in to Melissa Kluger.
Hi, I'm Melissa, publisher and editor of Precedent, the new rules of law and style. We are in London at Western having a party at the London Tap House. Just wrapping up, we've had a really good night.
So Melissa, why don't you tell us a little bit about your magazine and how this all developed?
Okay, I'd love to. The idea for Precedent came when I was a lawyer, and I was practicing in Toronto, and I found that there were a lot of resources out there on, on how to write a statement of claim or where to learn how to prepare a motion, but there wasn't a lot of information on all the other things that have to do with being a young lawyer, like where to buy a great suit or what to do if I want to take a client to lunch. And I found that in addition, there were magazines out there already for lawyers, but there weren't any that addressed those sorts of questions that I had. And I wanted something that was for students and lawyers both in and out of the office.
Okay, did this emerge out of a blog, as I understand it? There was a blog that we
I knew that I would print a magazine.
Okay.
But I did spend a year blogging at lawandstyle.ca, which has now become the magazine website, but it also has the blog on it.
Uh-huh.
And that was a year where I had a chance to pay attention to what was going on in the legal community, understand what people cared about, see which stories people came back to, meet a lot of writers, and just put my ear to the ground in the legal community.
So it sounds like the blog was useful for you in terms of building relationships and getting a deeper understanding of
the
community.
Absolutely. When I went out to sell the magazine, I was able to say that I already had a blog. We got 10,000 unique visits a week, which is, I was really proud of. And what kind of demand. And I also was able to send people there and say, you can see what kinds of things we like to write about and what our readers are interested in.
Speaking of the types of things you do like to write about, maybe you can tell us a little bit about what you have in store for Preston and what type of content you guys are going to be covering.
Well, our first issue just... the party's getting crazy. Our first issue just launched. This is why we're here in at Western today. It's a real mix. So we have a story about young lawyers making career decisions who are working in the field of mergers and acquisitions. What happens when the market changes? Are they changing their career paths with the market in sight, or do they just sort of go with the flow? Then we have more fun stories. Not that that wasn't fun, but that was a serious story. And then fun stories like we went to Harry Rosen, and we had seven handsome lawyers from Toronto model the latest t-shirts and ties. And that was my favorite example of the combination of both law and style coming together. It's been great. I really think the precedent's a chance to stars in the profession. We know a lot about the senior lawyers, the QCs, who are the sort of our current heroes in the profession, and this is a chance to make new heroes and make new stars of the next generation coming up.
Great. And how can this magazine, in your opinion, be of use to students who are currently studying law?
I know that when I was studying law, I didn't know any lawyers. I didn't even know anyone who was already graduated from law school. And when I went around to Bay Street to interviews and stuff, I had never been anywhere like that before. I'd never been up to one of those office towers. It was all foreign and overwhelming to me. And with not having any lawyers in my family or any friends, I didn't have anywhere to look to know what it would really be like to be a lawyer. And that's one of the things I want Preston to be, a place that you can go and trust. But that's what it's going to be like, and it's really going to be a resource and a guide for students and for lawyers who are just starting out.
Okay, for lawyers who are interested in maybe getting more involved, possibly writing for you guys, how would they go about that? And are you taking on more people?
For people who are interested in the magazine, I encourage them to read the magazine and go to the website and follow our blog and get a real sense of who we are and what we're doing. And then if they have an idea, we do have writers that we've hired for writing stories and things for the magazine, but I'm always looking for ideas, so if they have something they want to pitch to me, they should send me an email. It's melissa@lawandstyle.ca. It's all on the website. And get in touch, and at the very least, we'll have a good conversation.
Great. Well, thank you very much for speaking to us today.
Good luck to you guys, too.
Thank you. And I guess after our first season of Law School, our first semester, I did want to thank everyone who's made this possible. Gary Schley at Centennial College, who started me out blogging, and without him, I really wouldn't have taken on this initiative. Likewise, Donna Papacosta of Trafalgar Communications, who actually had me do my first podcast and trained me in podcasting techniques. And of course, the folks over there at Inside PR, Terry Fallis and David Jones, who really led the way, especially in terms of podcasting and me emulating their example for building social capital. So thanks to you guys.
That is everything for this episode of Law is Cool. Check us out at lawiscool.com regularly for regular updates. We have been Omar Haredi and Thomas Wisdom signing off.